something gets repeated, it's important. If it gets repeated again and again, it is incredibly important. If you get it three times, God is saying, take notice of this. Take notice of this story. What is God saying to us from this ancient tale 2,400 years ago? 2,600 years ago? Something like that. Give or take. What is God saying to us this morning? This whole story is about preparation. It's about being prepared for battle, because we will face battle. We do face battle. We are facing battle, and we need to be prepared. These Welsh guards, they start to sing because the Zulu are singing. And the Zulu are singing, and I mean, there's tens of thousands of Zulu. I don't know what the history of the movie, whether it's true or not. But in the movie, you've got all these Zulu. But what is really discouraging the Welsh is the singing. Not the blokes with the big spears. I mean, they're discouraging enough, aren't they? But it is the singing. There's something about the singing. Did you see the English fans and the Swedish fans singing against each other? I can't tell you the exact words they used, because that's even less appropriate for church. But it went something along these lines. The English were singing, "You're not very good at football, but your girlfriends are very attractive." That's what they were singing. "Your birds are fit." I can say that bit. The Swedes were singing this. "Go home to your ugly wives." I mean, I can't believe there wasn't violence. That was in some Russian city 10 days ago. These two armies, if you like. Something in the power of singing. We've worshipped this morning. And some of us grew up in that generation where the thing that you came for was the sermon. See, when he's not here, I miss him. The thing you came for was the sermon. Thanks, Johnny. The everything else was just filler, you know, just warm up. Let's get the preacher on. I've been to churches recently where I've been speaking, and you just think, like I'm the main event. That's not good, because God is the main event, isn't he? Jesus is the main event. And if we fall into the trap of the world where we're looking at personality after personality after personality, we've lost it. We've lost it. Worship is not just warming you up to hear the word. Worship is battle. Worship is preparation. Worship is the place we need to be as people so that we can face what is coming. We need to be prepared for battle. You know, worship is an act of the will. You might have come this morning and known not a single song. You might not be a singer. You know, they say that men really struggle with singing. I love it. I mean, I'm terrible. You know, you don't want to be sitting next to me, but I love it. But it is an act of the will. I deliberately sit on the front row. I've deliberately sat on the front row for 11 years as pastor of this church. I am not a front row guy. I'm sitting with Sid at the back. That's me. I want to heckle. That's what I want to do. I want to sit like, "Oh, get off!" I want to be Bill Jones making little one-liners all the way through the sermon. I know he does it. If you sat next to him, if you never sat next to Bill Jones, make it your mission over the next few weeks. Sorry, he's a good one. He doesn't know I'm saying this. Make it your mission to sit next to Bill. He makes little cracks all the way through the sermon. Anybody know? Anybody? Can I get an amen on that? All the way through. But I don't sit at the back. Why? Because you need to see me worship. And sometimes I don't feel like it. Like sometimes you don't feel like it. But it's not a feel thing. It is an act of the will. I will worship. I will worship. God is good. Sometimes, all the time. Sometimes, you know, during Hezekiah's reign, Judah flourished. So this is a time of great distress in the world. Well, certainly in the ancient Near East. The Assyrian nation, the Assyrian empire is massive and it is brutal. They learned how to peel the skin off people and keep them alive. They were the most brutal regime probably ever. They make the Romans look pleasant. They were absolutely evil. And everywhere across that ancient East, you know, what is now Turkey and Iran and Iraq and Lebanon and Syria, all those places, Egypt, they are under the oppression and attack from Assyria. Egypt are fighting back. And little old Judah, the size of Wales, tiny, is prospering. God is prospering them. They reckon that the nation doubled in size during Hezekiah's reign. Probably because all the people were leaving other places. Why do people want to leave North Africa and come to Britain? Is it the weather? Is it? It's because they want to prosper as people. And if we found ourselves, this is not the sermon, by the way, this is a slide. If we find ourselves being horrible to those who want a better life, we have missed the point of Jesus Christ, haven't we? Who is my favorite migrant of all time? And if you go through scripture, just add Moses and Abraham to that little list and you go, oh, okay, we should love asylum seekers. Anyway, that's not what the sermon's about. It's about worship. It's an act of the will. Will we come and worship? Will I, arms high and heart abandoned? That was a great word from Helen, well, from the Lord through Helen this morning. Because arms high is good for your soul. Let me tell you, it releases something. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is. But we're told in Scripture to lift up holy hands, Old Testament and New Testament. But you don't have to, because God looks at the inside of a person. Worship is not about the exterior. It is about the interior. It's about preparing ourselves for battle. But preparing ourselves for battle. It's not just singing. It is about going, I'm going to go for God. And whatever you're facing this week, worship. In your car, stick a CD on. Just worship. I speak in tongues, you know, it's not something I've ever done publicly for the church, but personally it's a gift that God has given me, and I use it all the time, especially on the way to church, on the way to a meeting. Just in my car, for nobody else but God. I want to be in worship. I want to be prepared for the things that I don't know are coming. Don't you? That's not a pastor job, that's everybody's job. We are the light of the world if we're followers of Jesus. We need to be prepared. Hezekiah has been prepared by somebody. He is in a long line of kings who generally don't get it. They don't sort it out. They just are compromised. And yet he's the one who stands for Yahweh. He's one who goes for God. Who's prepared him? We don't get any names. Might be his mum. We get his mum's name. Might be his mum. Might be Isaiah. Imagine having a prayer partner who is Isaiah. I mean, how good is that? We didn't read it, I don't think, but when he gets in trouble later on, he goes to Isaiah and says, will you pray with me? It's like having the Pope on call, isn't it, or something? It's like, oh, who shall I pray with? I'll just call Justin Welby, see if he'll pray with me. Somebody has prepared this man. And then he starts to prepare himself. And we need to recognize that the situation you are in right now and the place of your soul is not anyone's responsibility except yours. We need to be in community. We need to have those who speak into our lives, who challenge us, who encourage us, who bless us. We need to be under the word of God. We do, all those things are good, but the bottom line is, it's your will. It's your desire. Will I worship God today? Will I put him first? Will I worship him? We need to be prepared for battle. And Hezekiah prepares himself, but then he does the work for others. Then he starts to prepare for others. And he does these amazing things. He opens the temple. The temple's been closed, you know, or ignored, or used for other stuff, or used as a storage place, or used as a funky nightclub, or whatever. That's what happens to temples, isn't it? And he comes and he opens the temple and he invites the people in. It's an incredible thing. He invites the people in and he invites them for Passover. So Passover is the most important thing in the Jewish world. It's the most important thing in the Christian world. It is the story of rescue from sin and death. It is the story of Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, he wants to rescue you from sin and death. Accept him. Repent your sins. Ask him to come into your life. He will change your life. And Hezekiah does this crazy thing. He opens the temple, he declares Passover, and he says anyone can come. Not just the men, not just the men who haven't got a limp, not just the Jews, well, he is just writing to the Jews, but not just the good people, not just the people who obey the law, not just the people who are well-behaved, everybody, come, come, come. We live in this world right now where, as churches, we're struggling because some churches want to say, you are not welcome unless your gender's right, your sexuality's right, even your race is right. And we've got other churches who say, everything's welcome. Come and live how you like. And actually, we need to stand in the middle and say, everyone can come to Jesus. But when you come to Jesus, he's got some stuff to say to you. He's got some stuff he wants to sort out in your life. He's got the best for you. But we, as a church, have to have open doors. We have to do the Hezekiah thing. Come. How will they hear if no one tells them? Come, welcome the people, invite the people. Hezekiah invited all of Israel and Judah. They're not even his people. He's inviting them. Come and meet God. Come and meet God. Come and meet God. He's prepared for battle. And he's up against this destructive culture. And in the middle of the destructive culture, he doesn't give in to it. He is a builder. This is Hezekiah's tunnel in Jerusalem. You can't always get through it because of the racial disharmony in Israel. Should we call it that? But Hezekiah leaves his incredible legacy, not just a spiritual one. He leaves a physical one. He builds. He builds for the good of the people. He builds, if you like, for the good of the church. He builds. He wants to see his people prosper. He wants to see his people do well. He's calling people to be builders. That's what God is calling us to be. Throughout Scripture, calls us to be builders of broken walls, to be those who restore what's going on in our country. We've had almost a century where we've assumed the government will do it, and they don't anymore, do they? And it's time for the church to step up again, because God is calling us to be builders, not destroyers. He's calling us to invest in our community. It's calling us to get involved in the nitty-gritty of the daily lives of the people amongst whom we live. We need to be builders. Hezekiah flourishes. He flourishes because he builds. He flourishes because he trusts God. But as he flourishes, the enemy notices. For years, Judah has paid their tax to Assyria. Leave us alone. We'll give you some money. Leave us alone. But they're flourishing. And the enemy see that. And they want a piece of it. And don't be surprised when if God is blessing us, we face challenges. Don't be surprised if everything's going good and then, hang on a minute, something's, what's wrong? I thought we were in a place of blessing. Hezekiah does everything that the Lord has told him to. And then the Assyrians come. And then it gets really interesting. But he is prepared. He is prepared for the battle because he's prepared in worship and he's prepared physically. He's put the stuff in place. He's a builder and he's not a destroyer. And he's an encourager and he's not a discourager. One of these is a spiritual gift. Which one is it? Encourager. Let's be encouragers. Let's be those who call the gold out of people. Not just in a church context. In work. In life. Who are you encouraging? Who have you told recently that they're doing a good job? It messes with their brains, doesn't it? In a work situation. You did that really well. What are you saying that for? It messes with the brains. Hezekiah is an encourager. He encourages his people. he says this, greater is us, greater is he who is in us than is in them. That's from 1 John. Hezekiah doesn't know that. John's not going to be born for 500 years. But that is a word that comes over and over and over again to the people of God. When you are surrounded by the enemy on every side, when there is no hope, when you're facing death and divorce and cancer, when you're facing the battles that we face, there is this word that comes over and over and over again. Greater is he that is in me than is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than is in the world. We need to tell ourselves that. That's worship, you see. It's not about you. It's not greater am I. It's greater is he. Greater is he who is in me than is in the world. That is a battle song, isn't it? We should sing it. We should speak it. It is worship and it is encouraging. He brings this word to the people. Do not give up. In the Second Kings version of this story, we have this great conversation from the walls. Hezekiah's kind of right-hand man is prime minister and all that. They're on the wall and they're having a conversation with Sennacherib's people. And Sennacherib's people, they're speaking in Hebrew. And they say to them, please don't speak in Hebrew. Speak in Aramaic, because we understand that, but our people don't. And the guy from Assyria says, we want your people to hear this as well. We want your people to hear this as well. And they bring this religious word. They say, we worship the same God. We worship the same God. Now God has told us, God has told us that we're going to destroy your city. So you might as well just give in now. It's like, who are you listening to? How do you know? How do you know that God has spoken? How do you know? Do you know his voice? Can you discern who is speaking in your life? Can you discern that this is not the end for you? It's just battle. How do you discern that? Well, you need to know what the word says. You need to know what God says. And you need to know what he said to you in the past. Because he's unchanging. We need to discern what God is saying. Because the enemy comes and speaks something. He speaks against the Lord. He says, there is no God. The enemy speaks half-truths to the church. It's not that long ago Richard Dawkins was making a fortune by telling everybody that all the problems of the world were caused by religion. Anybody start any wars this week? Just wondering, Only at home, eh? Anybody start any wars this week? The lie that religion causes war is one we need to get hold of. Because it's not a lie, is it? But it's a half-truth, isn't it, Nathan? Yes. It's a half-truth. We all know the history of Islam and Christianity and Sikhism. I mean, they carry knives, don't they? We all know that amongst these religions there is war. But you should also know in the 20th century, most people were killed by the actions of Mao and Hitler and Stalin and Pol Pot, who were all atheists. It's a half-truth, you see. It's fine to say religion has caused some serious unpleasantness in our world, isn't it? But we also need to know, that's not a religious thing, is it? I'm not saying that all atheists are evil either, by the way. I'm just saying this. That is the human condition. That is the human condition. And what the enemy will do is say, your God has caused this. It's your God's fault. It's your God's fault. Or we'll have a go at the servants. He'll attack the leaders. It's Isaiah that says, if the shepherd is struck, the sheep will scatter. That's Hezekiah's mate. Perhaps he's speaking about this situation. We need to back up the king. We need to pray for him. We need to be with him. Donald Trump's in the nation. And you might not like him, but the scripture tells us to pray for him. And I believe that we can demonstrate. And you might want to go and join a demonstration. I've got no issue with that whatsoever. But you have to pray for him. When the New Testament writers tell us to pray for those in control, they are telling their church to pray for the Roman emperors who are persecuting the Christians. So we can do the same, can't we? You know, we can pray for Jeremy Corbyn and we can pray for Theresa May. We can pray for Donald Trump and anybody else you like. We must pray for leaders, for church leaders, for world leaders. We must be prepared for battle. I love this story particularly because the enemy come and say, you've lost it. You've got nothing. We're going to take this city. Sennacherib's army has wandered through Judah and taken one town after another. And then they get to Jerusalem and they say, you might as well just give in now. And Hezekiah says, but God is with us. And then he prays. And this is something we know absolutely without doubt. The Assyrian army never take Jerusalem. They never take Jerusalem. You can go and see in the British Museum and in the Louvre, you can see those kind of stone kind of carvings. And it tells you the towns they took. And which one's missing? Jerusalem. You don't mention terrible losses in the ancient world. You just talk about the ones you did. They never get there. Hezekiah stands on the word of God, on the promises of God, that God is faithful and just, that he will not leave him or desert him. He sticks with his God. All the way through, we have this preparation. He is prepared for battle. Church, let's get prepared for battle. Let's be those who worship God, because in worshiping, it's not just about our feelings. It is about a preparation for what is coming our way. Let us be prepared for the accusation, for the word against us. But let us know that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord, help us when we're in battle. Lord, help us when we're in a place of dismay or despair or despondency. Lord, help us look up to you. Lord, thank you that we have access to the Father through the Son and the power of the Spirit. Lord, help us to use the access we've got to come to you, Jesus, to meet you where you are. Sorry, where we are. You meet us where we are. Lord, help us prepare for battle this week. Go before us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Just as the worship team come, let me remind you of those little questions we like to ask here. What is God saying to you? And what are you going to do about it?